Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and our special guest today is Roscoe Stelfer, the city manager of the city of Woodstock. Roscoe has been with us before, but he's back with us again. We want to thank him for joining us. Roscoe, welcome to Around Town.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate getting invited back.
Well, you're quite welcome. So tell us about the future growth for Route 47, I guess, would be the one to start with.
Yeah, that's a major undertaking between the state and the city of Woodstock. We're looking at expanding Route 47 from Route 14 up to Route 120 to go to four lanes with a hard median in between. It's a $58 million investment by the state of Illinois.
Wow.
They will not be doing the railroad bridge, by the way. That's in of itself, that was a $30 million improvement if they were to expand the railroad bridge. So the workaround there is they're going to put in dual lane roundabouts. They'll have one on Lake Avenue on the south side and one on McConnell on the north side. So that way they don't have to do traditional intersection designs on both sides of the bridge.
And how far pedestrians getting through by the bridge right there?
They feel like that's much safer. The as far as getting through the bridge, you are correct. They're not going to have the pedestrian access like they used to under the bridge. So there is going to be a pedestrian tunnel that will be on the east side of the bridge where folks can get through.
And when will that project begin, Roscoe?
They're talking right now a January letting date. They're still in property acquisition. We think that worst case, you're probably looking at May or June as far as the letting goes, and then construction hopefully starting next year in 2024.
Wow. When you look along Route 47, you got a lot of areas where it's very low next to Route 47. So you start thinking, boy, they got to put a lot of fill in there.
They do.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I guess Plody, if he's around that area, he's got a lot of gravel pits that are going to come in handy, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And as far as the Reed Road, that's the expansion will start from Reed Road, I guess, going to Route 14?
Well, that's really the next step, not just with the city of Woodstock, but working with here with Huntley and with McCog and our partners. We've worked hard to start lobbying for that as the next logical phase for the state of Illinois. So once Route 47 is done in a portion of Woodstock, on the south side of Woodstock, what we're doing is we're working with the state legislature to try to encourage funding so that they would connect now Route 14 all the way down here to Huntley Reed Road, make that four lanes, which we feel like that would help a lot with the future growth and development up and down that corridor. It would definitely improve our residents' lives as far as being able to commute back and forth to get to 90 down here in Huntley.
Yeah, and I see they're planning a truck stop, I think, around 176, I believe. I think that's in the plans there. That they're going to put something in because there's no truck stops between here and Woodstock and the tollway, so it would help a lot of those truckers. How about the Metro Rail Yard? What's going to go on there, Roscoe?
We're working hard on the Metro Rail Yard, too, to lobby for that project. Just so your listeners know, the current storage is in Crystal Lake for the Metro trains. And what that ends up resulting in is our schedule is not the same as what you would get in Crystal Lake. We're probably 8 to 10 trains a day, and Crystal Lake's 22, somewhere around there. So there's been a long-term project that Metro, McHenry County, City of Woodstock, City of Crystal Lake, a variety of partner agencies have been working on to actually create and construct a official rail yard that would be to the west of Woodstock, or even within Woodstock, but on the west side, for them not only just to store the trains, but for them to be able to actually do a maintenance yard. So there they could actually work on the trains, maintain them. What we've been told is if that happens, then that's probably 100 jobs that they would be creating.
Wow.
As part of the maintenance yard. So we're very excited about that. But it's a significant investment. They're talking $120, $130 million for making that investment. It would significantly improve our train schedule. We would have the same train schedule as Crystal Lake if the rail yard moves to the west of us.
Would there then be express trains from Woodstock to downtown?
Yeah, I'm sure. We would pick up more express trains. We have more trains coming back as well, which would definitely be beneficial for our community. So we're very supportive of that project. We want to see it happen. That's going to be a little bit of a longer term, 5-10 year window. Is my understanding. So, and we do believe it is helping to some degree. Chicago Bears talking to Arlington Heights because we are in that train line, and I believe that for Metro it would definitely help their operations if they were to get that rail yard to the west side of Woodstock.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Crystal Lake wants the land where the trains are being stored right now for future growth.
Yeah, they would love that, I'm sure, downtown development where the current rail storage is. So Crystal Lake is definitely very supportive of this as well.
And I know you mentioned a strategic plan development.
Yeah, we are currently in the process of doing quite a bit of planning right now, which is important for getting to the future you want, ultimately. So staff, city staff are underway with pulling together a strategic plan for our council. We've worked through several reiterations of it. We feel like we're very close to the final document. So the plan right now is to take the strategic plan to the council, probably our August 15th council meeting, have them review it one last time and adopt that, and then we'll start moving forward. The next step after that, although we do have in the plan what they call key performance indicators, that's not what we've devoted as much time to, because we really want to make sure we got the underlying strategies and the objectives that council wants. So the next step for us really would be to put more focus on the key performance indicators, harden those up, and then start measuring to make sure we're making progress towards that plan. The other thing, too, that we've been working as well is just to help people understand that these KPIs are important, but from everything I've been reading about strategic plans, you have to be able to evolve and adapt in regards to your KPIs. So it's something you originally thought when you sat down to create the plan today that you think might be a good measurement just isn't measuring what you thought it would, and so you need to be able to kind of adapt and maybe set that one aside and find something else that helps better measure the progress you're trying to make.
I think as a city manager, both yourself, Roscoe, and Dave Johnson here in Huntley, you folks got your work cut out for yourself, because there's so much going on, so much expansion and growth that, you know, if you have a plan, the plan you have today could be outdated in 6 months.
Sure.
And you're starting all over again because of things that change and the rapid growth that's taking place. So, you know, whether it be a comprehensive, you know, city plan or master arts plan, which you may want to tell us about that. That's underway with Northern Illinois University.
Yeah, we've got two different plans. So as I mentioned, the strategic plan we're just trying to do in-house, staff-wise. But we do have our comprehensive plan is currently undergoing an update that's being done by a consultant, Housel Levine. It was last updated in 2008, just when the housing crash occurred. So it's definitely in need of an update. So the comprehensive plan is important because it sets the zoning in your community. It sets where you foresee, as far as land use goes, how the land use will be within your community. So it's a very important document. And that is currently going through the process with the consultants, getting ready to bring that eventually to the Plan Commission and to the council, and ultimately for council's adoption. And then, you know, arts are very important in the city of Woodstock. We're very much an arts-based community. So we are working with Northern Illinois University, as you mentioned, Master Arts Plan, where that will help us set guidelines and goals for public art, where we want public art, as well as helping us manage folks that want to do art on their own property and what that can look like and what that process should be. If they want to do a mural on the side of their building, how should that flow through the city's processes, and what should the approvals be, and what should be guidelines that are given to them as well?
So if I wanted to put a mural on our station director's building, that would be okay?
Well, is he in Huntley or is he in Woodstock? He can do wherever he wants in Huntley, as far as...
He's in Del Webb. I don't think he'd be allowed.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's probably some restrictions there, I would guess.
What's the hotel study, Roscoe?
We pay to have a consultant come in and take a look at demand that we have in our community for hotels. As you're probably well aware, we have a lot of tourism in Woodstock. A lot of business that's undertaken in Woodstock, and we feel like there's a real need for of course, more and more hotels. But in order to secure that investment, sometimes you have to be willing to put a little money up, and you have to bring in the professionals and have them take a look. And sometimes it's good for you, too, because they come in, they tell you, no, you might feel that way, but it's not there, right?
So, right.
We made that investment. We were very pleased with the results. It does indicate that we could support another hotel in the downtown. And so staff will use that to help try to secure an interested party who manages and runs and builds hotels, see if we can get them to come to Woodstock and hopefully the next year or two.
Well, that's great. And you're refreshing your city website?
We are. We've got a new marketing department at the city of Woodstock now. They're on their second year, and one of their big undertakings is to come in and refresh and redo the city's website, and kind of we're in the middle of a branding process as well. where they're updating our logo and our tagline and all sorts of wonderful marketing things. So I'm sure you'll be seeing that in the next few months, with the website actually getting redone probably later in the year, probably go online January, February next year is what we're thinking right now.
Gotcha. And I see the council agrees to the American Rescue Plan.
Yeah, we had some American Rescue Plan funding that was allocated to us. What we're looking at doing with that is we have the Intergenerational Inclusive Playground. You know, we looked here, actually, Huntley, who has a similar structure right across the street from where we're at. And we thought that that was fantastic. We want to bring that in. We want to add an intergenerational component to that as well to bring the entire community together. So we've secured some grant funding for that through OSLAD. Council's committed money out of the American Rescue Plan to help pay for that. And then the next step, the next phase is the diecast site, and we're working with a developer on that site to bring in a variety of different housing to the downtown, with the hope that at some point in time there will be some form of entertainment venue or community gathering place that would be built as part of this development, so that we can host, whether it end up being concerts or expand the farmers market or have other opportunities for our community to gather. We think that that would be a real positive.
I think that's all bring in the possibility of possibly another supermarket, too. If you get that many people in that area, that they want to be a little bit closer than traveling a greater distance.
Yeah, we would love to have a downtown supermarket in the community. We are very pleased, though. The Food Shed Co-op is going to be opening, hopefully, in the next year on Route 14. And we can't, you know, that's a great investment for us. We love the co-op concept and idea that fits very well with the city of Woodstock.
I saw they broke ground, I think it was a week ago.
Yeah.
And that co-op, we've had the gentleman on who's the manager of that, and they're tied into co-ops all the country. And they hope to be, I think, open. Was it November, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, which we're very excited about.
How about your spring programming for the different organizations?
You know, we send out a City Scenes to our residents, so that will list all the various programming that we have to offer. We're constantly working on updating that programming. As far as like the Opera House goes, you know, we did get that DCO grant for $3 million, so they're going to be making a significant improvement to the building in the not-so-distant future. So we're still working with a consultant we brought in, DLR, to kind of help us estimate what the cost of the projects are. Their background's in historic theaters. That's their expertise and how to properly operate and run them. And so they're giving us a variety of ideas on what those costs are. So probably in the next month, we'll be sitting down with the council going over that report and kind of streamlining where are the priorities, where are the things we're going to be doing going forward.
Folks, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking to Ross Castelford, the general city manager, I should say, of City of Woodstock, and telling us about all the things that are going on in that area and around the area. Roscoe, the question I've got for you is that with all these projects going on, do you get like only 2 hours sleep a night, or or do you sleep at all?
I have an excellent staff, Ron.
Okay.
Excellent staff.
Okay.
We couldn't do it without them. So.
Well, you want to tell the folks about that T-Mobile hometown program that took place, the prize?
Yeah, we won the T-Mobile Award for Best Small Town, and they came in and they made a significant investment in our community. They invested within their own infrastructure, so we have downtown Chicago-like infrastructure in the city of Woodstock, as well as there was a variety of other things. They invested in one of our ball fields and upgrading that, which was fantastic. And then we had the Florida Georgia Line concert that was just an incredible experience to have that at the county fairgrounds and be able to offer that for free to members of our community and have them be able to come out and enjoy that. That was definitely well received. So they've been incredible partners. We couldn't thank them enough. We also, and by the way, we had Smart America come out and they did an analysis for us of what would be the most strategic, best way for us to grow our community and to invest in our community and to continue to improve upon our community. So that we love that advice, and we're taking that to heart, and we're trying to implement as much as we can of that.
And where will they be putting the two new towers up at Roscoe?
I can't recall, Ron, off the top of my head. The two new towers, If I remember right, we're one near the downtown, and then there was one out, I think they were going on McCall Road. They were investing in the water tower we had out there.
People are always interested in what's going on with the city as far as budgeting and things like that, and how it's going to affect them. So maybe you might want to touch base on your restructuring.
Yeah, so the city did restructure its executive staff. We did add three new executive directors to our roster. We did bring one in from the outside, and then we did promote two from within as well. And overall, it's been an extremely positive result. As you just mentioned, we're doing all these projects, and that's because we have the staff to be able to make these work going forward. So I think the internal promotions were positive for the organization, as well as they did help hold the line on some of the cost concerns that the residents raised in regards to these executive director positions.
Well, you're saying that you saved like $300,000?
Yeah, exactly, because we did not backfill the positions that our executive directors per se left, or we didn't backfill a position along the line. So we did promote the deputy director of public works to serve as a public works director, but we did not fill the deputy public works director position. So you got savings from that. And then the finance director, deputy city manager, was promoted to be the executive director of strategy and planning. We did not backfill the finance director position. So those people are really performing at a high level, and they definitely have my appreciation for all the work they're doing.
Well, it's good to know, because when people see that, they think, oh, they added more executives, they added more staff, that it's going to cost more money. Where it's a case of where it's just the opposite, that you're saving some money.
Yeah, and you're helping them grow and develop as individuals, right, within their career.
How about the new creation of the marketing and communication team, Roscoe?
Yeah, that's been a wonderful addition to our staff and to our community. It's kind of an evolving way for government to go. You know, I've been in government now for 30 years, if you consider my time at GFOA, which was more of a not-for-profit, but supported local government. And,
okay.
You know, that now, before, we did very little marketing, and eventually the city will start investing in the Real Woodstock brand and kind of do external marketing. And now we've evolved that to where we're actually doing internal marketing. And we've seen some real positives from having a marketing team and marketing staff. You know, the city operates a lot of things like businesses. We have a recreation department. We have the waterworks, the aquatic center, the pool. You have the opera house. Those all need marketing if those are going to be successful, and if they're able to compete in today's marketplace. So they've been a great addition. We've seen definitely increases in some of our sales areas. Some of that is a little hard to read right now because we're coming off of COVID, and so it's hard to tell how much of that is coming out of COVID and how much of that is due to additional marketing. But there's no doubt that they're helping make Woodstock successful.
And how does your neighborhood redevelopment program work?
Yeah, we had a neighborhood redevelopment program that we worked with the county on. We secured some CDBG funding for that, for what they would call the NERSA. We've offered two or three different programs to people that are currently in a pilot project area where they can make investments in improving their property, whether that be investments in the windows or the landscaping or things of that nature. And the city will help partner to help pay some of those costs through this program, with the idea being that we're trying to improve the properties in that area and to kind of reinvest in those areas. They're kind of older areas in the community that would benefit from some reinvestment and some targeted reinvestment.
I know people also like to hear about the streets and what's taking place there, because you're always looking for the upgrades and roads being replaced and repaired and what have you. So where do we stand with that, Roscoe?
Well, streets are probably a number one thing for most residents in most communities.
I'm sure.
The downside we have in our area is we're really in a bad spot when it comes to streets. With this constant freeze-thaw during the wintertime, that's like the worst thing you could have with your streets, because it's just water infuses in, it hardens, right, it cracks the street up, and then it softens, it gets deeper and cracks and back and forth. So, but in response, our council has been much more aggressive. They passed a $50 million program over the next 5 years for us to be reinvesting our streets. To kind of give your listeners some perspective, we were spending probably around $2 million a year, so now we're going to be doing $10 million a year over the next. We're in year two of the program. Actually, we're officially going to be starting off year three next week with construction work going on. And then we have two more years, year four and five of that program, to make that investment.
Have they come up with any new innovations as far as streets are concerned? Maybe different types of asphalts, or I know some cities are putting a coating down on existing streets that makes them last longer. Is the technology advanced quite a bit?
Yeah, definitely. We did do, as part of this, we did create a transportation, a street task force, where we had partners from other communities as well participate in that. So we could talk about funding, we could talk about what process they're using or how they're attacking this problem. And one thing we definitely took away from this was there's a product out there called Reclamite. They use that product in order for them to be able to preserve the street. They put it on usually 3 or 4 years after they put the initial new resurfacing down. But what they found is it gives you an extra 5 to 10 years worth of service life on the street. So it's a huge, and it's not very much money. It's a huge investment. It does have some optics problems sometimes because residents get a little testy when they see you going back over a street you just fixed, in their mind 3 or 4 years ago, and now you're doing some more work.
We're talking about the city of Chicago, where they pave a street and they dig it up the next day.
Yeah, we're not trying to do that.
Right.
We're trying to be strategic about it because it is a significant investment for us. So Reclamite has been an addition that we've made over the last 5 years. Something else we've been doing too is just making sure we check the underground utilities in the area when we're going to go and we're going to redo the street. So what's the storm sewer look like? What's the water and sewer look like? Do the mains need to be replaced?
Sure.
Because it's best to do it all at once when you pull everything up versus you put a brand new, you put brand new pavement down and then 2 years later you're pulling it all back up
Right. Because
the water mains, shot and it needed to be replaced. Now, it got to make it clear, there's no guarantees. Even if you go and you look at it today, that you're all of a sudden not going to start problems with a certain main. But we are trying to be very proactive and make that assessment early on, so we're doing the water and sewer.
Now, that coating you put down, is that put down a year after you've repaved the street?
Yeah, within a couple of years, you want to put Reclamite down because it will rejuvenate the pavement, basically, put more life back into the asphalt. And it's, like I said, it gets you 5 to 10 years more service life, which, based on what that costs versus what it costs to resurface a road, that's really an inexpensive investment to get the extra time.
Oh, that's interesting. How about your economic development portion of the business? How are they doing there with those folks?
Well, we're glad. I think the pandemic's behind us, so we've seen a lot of our businesses coming back, which is very important to the city of Woodstock. It's crucial to our success. We're continuing to work with our local businesses and to offer various different programs to them to help with their success. We have been a member of it was called the Harvard Woodstock Enterprise Zone, but now it's going to be called the McHenry County Enterprise Zone because the city of Marengo has joined as well. And we're very happy with that program that helps us with our local, with some of our businesses if they want to make investments in our community. We're able to help with the building material costs because if they go through the program, they're actually able to forego the sales tax if they buy the building materials here in the state of Illinois, which is a huge help to their their project. And then by default, too, by making those investments in the community, they also receive some property tax exemptions or some property tax abatements to kind of help soften the blow of that major outlay they're going to have to make to make the investment. And obviously, most people, that's a debt payment they're going to have to start making for a while. So it gives them a little bit of time and some extra money so that they can take that risk. Because as you're probably well aware, business is a lot about managing risks. So
the more
we can do to help them manage that risk and make sure that they're going to be successful at the end, the more likely we can secure and attract that business investment.
We should mention before we run out of time here about what's taking place with the old courthouse and the sheriff's house and what's taking place here in August for the folks to know.
Yeah, it's top of mind because we're wrapping that project up. So the city made a significant investment in the old courthouse and our downtown, the sheriff's house. It was definitely a state of disrepair when we took it over back in 2011. A lot of issues, was not weather tight at all. So the city's been making investment because that building is just key to our future. And to the downtown and to preserving one of the many things that makes Woodstock very special is the downtown and the historic structures and the historic buildings that we have there. So the city is leading by example, and we're making the investment in the old courthouse, and we're very pleased at the progress we've been able to make. We're going to be showing it off in August. It should be opening up for the public late August, early September, so they can come in. and take a look at the building. We're hoping to have the building ready to transfer over to our tenants, hopefully by latest next week. We're hoping this week, but you know, right. If you've been involved with a building project,
right,
it's always a constant moving deadline. Right. So, you know, we really do see the end of the tunnel here, though.
Well, I might add too that in doing this, it's going to be really very interesting for people to see, because that old courthouse, things were uncovered that had been covered up that go back to the history of that courthouse that you can now see, as well as the movie theater where they took a ceiling down and had a drop ceiling and uncovered a beautiful dome in that theater that was there for many, many years. So it's something for you folks to go see, the old courthouse and the old sheriff's house there. It's really interesting. And we want to thank Roscoe for being here today, the city manager of the city of Woodstock. You folks have been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We want to thank you all for listening. And if you got time, stop by and go see the old courthouse after August 17th. It'll be there for you to see. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.